From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, The Precious Blood of Christ. Standing at the foot of the cross, we see hands and feet and side, all distilling crimson streams of precious blood. It is precious because of its redeeming and atoning efficacy. By it the sins of Christ's people are atoned for. They are redeemed from under the law. They are reconciled to God, made one with Him. Christ's blood is also precious in its cleansing power. It cleanseth from all sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Through Jesus' blood there is not a spot left upon any believer, no wrinkle nor any such thing remains. O precious blood, which makes us clean, removing the stains of abundant iniquity, and permitting us to stand accepted in the Beloved, notwithstanding the many ways in which we have rebelled against our God. The blood of Christ is likewise precious in its preserving power. We are safe from the destroying angel under the sprinkled blood. Remember, it is God's seeing the blood which is the true reason for our being spared. Here is comfort for us when the eye of faith is dim, for God's eye is still the same. The blood of Christ is precious also in its sanctifying influence. The same blood which justifies by taking away sin does in its after action quicken the new nature and lead it onward to subdue sin and to follow out the commands of God. There is no motive for holiness so great as that which streams from the veins of Jesus. And precious, unspeakably precious is this blood, because it has an overcoming power. It is written, "They overcame through the blood of the Lamb." How could they do otherwise? He who fights with the precious blood of Jesus fights with a weapon which cannot know defeat. The blood of Jesus. Sin dies at its presence. Death ceases to be death. Heaven's gates are opened. The blood of Jesus. We shall march on, conquering and to conquer, so long as we can trust its power.
Beneath that flood, lose all their guilty
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here is an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ, he's bringing a message entitled, Christ the Servant of God, the Savior of Sinners, and the Separator of Men. The text is John's Gospel, chapter 9, the healing of a man who was blind from birth. This miracle reveals a number of truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he lived with a divine compulsion to do the Father's will, to deal with the deepest needs of the hearts of sinners. Then he loved with a deep compassion. The Pharisees looked upon the blind man as useless, but Christ saw an immortal soul and gave him not only physical, but spiritual sight. In this way, God was glorified, even as Christ stated at the beginning of the chapter. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message. Christ, the servant of God, the Savior of sinners, and the separator of men.
There is this divine woe. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I know of preachers who could say they were called of God to preach, but they suddenly turned to be businessmen of this kind and that kind and the other kind because it was easier to make money doing that than it was in the pulpit. Where have we got to in the Christian ministry when we have lost the woe that compels the preacher to be faithful to Jesus Christ? Woe is unto me. Paul felt that compulsion. Peter felt it, and I think he spoke for all the early Christians. When commanded not to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, he told the Jewish leaders in Acts 4 and verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't do anything else. Now the price was high. Most of the apostles were murdered. Martyred. The price was high. These men, men like Peter and James and John and Andrew, who as working men were certainly not poor men, men of some property, men of some position, reduced to nothing, living in poverty. All of the cost was high, but listen, it is worth any price to do the work of God. It is worth any price to do the work of God. That's why it has often been said to young men called of God to preach, if God has called you to be a preacher, do not stoop to become a king. It's worth any price. Think of how Paul put it to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 and 11. He spoke of himself always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. His meaning actually is very simple. What he's saying to the Corinthians is, in our suffering and by our suffering, we show the world that Jesus lives. We suffered gladly, therefore, for the sake of Jesus Christ, in order that the power of the living Christ may be demonstrated among you. It's worth it all to see God's work done and God's name glorified. The Lord Jesus and his disciples lived with a divine compulsion. Do you feel anything of that compulsion? Does it ever burn in your heart? I must work for Christ. I must witness for Christ. I must give my all to glorify Christ. Away with the petty things. Away with the things that distract. Away with all the things that wrap me up in my blanket of, or should I say, my shroud of self-pity. Away with them all. Away with the excuses. I must work for Christ. Whatever my earthly avocation, Whatever my earthly position, whatever my earthly possessions, they are all in the altar for God. I must work for Christ. Do you know anything of that divine compulsion? The day is short. Your day is short. And so is mine. There's a time coming when, as far as this world's concerned, you'll not be able to speak another word for Jesus. You'll never attend another prayer meeting. You'll never go after another soul. You'll never witness to another sinner. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. He lived with a divine compulsion. I can only summarize the rest. He loved with a deep compassion. You see that in His dealings with the blind man. He set His eyes on him. He saw him. That was not a casual glance. That was the look of one who knew the man and was looking for him until he found him. It was a look of infinite pity, of kindness. For Christ felt for that man as no one else did. He saw the man, not just his shape, his appearance, his circumstances. He saw the man, and He knew him inside out. He saw his need. He saw his struggles. He saw his pain. He saw his loneliness. He saw his hopelessness. And He understood that man better than the man understood himself. He set His eyes upon him. And He set His heart on him too. He was a man born blind, poor and reduced to begging for a living, helpless, dependent on others, incapable of being much use to anybody, condemned by popular prejudice to bear the blame for faults of which he was never guilty. And yet the Lord Jesus chose him to be one of the greatest means in all his ministry of glorifying God. And perhaps that's the real reason why the Lord Jesus made clay and covered His eyes. You see, there was a message in the act. He was taking clay. Now, what value is a handful of muck or mud? What value? None. Look at that man in the eyes of the world. What good was he to anybody? What use was he to society or the church or even to God? He couldn't even earn a living. But you see, the Lord Jesus was sending the message, I'm taking a mean thing, a thing to which the world would attach no value whatsoever, and I'm going to use that to do my greatest work and glorify my Father in heaven. And you know that's how the Lord Jesus usually worked. That's how He worked with you and that's how He worked with me. Remember how Paul put it? The end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, not many of this and the great and the others are called. God doesn't do it. Now there are some, wise and great and noble, but very few, for most of them will never feel their need. But God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. God has chosen the base things of the world, the things that are despised, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That gives me a great deal of hope. The God who could use clay in the healing of a blind man. The God who could take that poor blind beggar and make him a preeminent testimony to His grace. That's the God that can take you and me. Oh, here is love indeed. As I sat in my study thinking of that, The thought that came to mind, oh, for a love like this, God, teach me how to love. I think if there's one thing missing in all of us, it is the ability to love with a deep compassion. For a love that looks beyond the appearance and sees the value of a soul. For a love that can look beyond human degradation and see the possibilities of what God can do with that degraded piece of humanity. Some of you will remember, a couple of years back, I brought here two old missionary friends, Bob and Alma McAllister. You got to hear them as old people, nearing 80 years of age. And I think that you'll never forget what you heard. For greater people of God I've never met. It's an education to go out with them just to go to a restaurant. It's an education. They eat and breathe and sleep the Lord Jesus just as naturally as it's possible. And any time Alma McAllister would see a group of young people, her heart just goes out to them. And I saw her do this. Others look at their clothes, the length of their hair, the earrings in their ear or whatever. She saw them in all the potential to glorify God. I saw her go over to a group of young people and just with the winsomeness of Christ, just as natural as could be, in a way that could never offend and yet that would touch the heart, she would go up to those young people and say, and these were her actual words, I covet you for Christ. I covet you for Christ. That's the love of Christ. That looks beyond the appearance. Goes beyond the sight and the sounds of life and sees a poor soul in need of Jesus and also sees one like that blind man whom Christ can take in all their meanness, make a testimony to the praise of His glory. You see the compassion of the Lord Jesus that He sought this man out when he had been excommunicated. And here's one of the loveliest touches of the story. He went looking until he found him. There's no need for a believer in Christ ever to be ultimately lonely. Or you may miss the fellowship of people. But in that time alone, there is always one who's seeking. If I'm talking to somebody here this morning in the depths of a deep despair, I want to tell you there is one who looks and seeks and searches until he finds. Jesus took him in when men rejected him. And then the most beautiful thing of all, he set the man's eyes on him. And verse 35 through 38, you will see him. This completes the circle. He started off by setting his eyes on the man. Now he sets the man's eyes on him. And he gives him the full revelation of himself. Do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he, Lord? Jesus says, you're looking at him, you're listening to him. What a beautiful thing. I believe. Thus he brings that man's weak faith. You remember, he tried that faith, go and wash. That was the first stirring of faith when that man got up and went. Now that faith comes to full assurance. And seeing Jesus and hearing that divine revelation, he says, Lord, I believe. And thus he enabled this man not only to confess him, but to live without fear of his enemies. You know, this man was never going to fear those Pharisees again. Could you imagine him now in front of that long-robed phylactery Pharisee who's trying to impose upon him? and swell out his chest and say, "Dost thou teach me?" Can you imagine this man now? "I have looked into the eyes of the Son of God. I am accepted of the Son of God. Will I fear this measly little sinner?" No, no. Here, my friend, is the great compassion of the Lord Jesus, giving his new disciples such a boldness in his testimony. Once the best thing he could say was, "Once I was blind, now I can see." But now he can speak with the full assurance of faith. Once he could say, "A man that is called Jesus anointed my eyes." Now he can say, "The Son of God came and touched me, and I worship him." And forevermore that testimony would be a witness to Christ's deity and saving power. How did it come about? Because Christ loved with a deep compassion.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.